Hi there, and welcome to another interview. Today I got the fantastic Houston with me, and I'm not going to start with the joke, Houston, is there a problem? I'm going to talk to her the same I talk to everybody, and that is, hey Houston, why did you become carnivore?
Oh, I love that, Stephen. And actually, Houston, we have the solution. We found the solution, actually. Okay, so I'm actually on day 45 today of my carnivore journey. And okay, so 45 days ago, I came across carnivore. I had heard, I had seen people eating meat, hadn't quite registered. I'd been following Saladino for years. I had come across keto and being in the fitness industry. I'd seen people doing low carb, and it didn't quite register. It's like the saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So 45 days ago, it was actually my mum that sent me a video. And it was actually, it's a lady on Instagram, and she is the Primal Bod. So I've been binge watching her videos. So my mum sent me this video, and it was about, she had been eating less, moving more, eating all the vegetables, the fruit, the fiber, the greens. She was gaining weight. She was having cellulite all over her legs. She thought it was just kind of age. This is what happens. It just gets harder. Until she found carnivore, primal eating. And something just clicked in me, because I'd been experiencing the same thing. From that moment, went on her Instagram, watched so many videos, led me to YouTube. And then I actually found yourself, UK Carnivore, Dave Mack. I found Dr. Berry, Anthony Chafee. I found all of the, and that's it. I've been watching probably about 5 to 10 videos a day ever since. So I'm going to back up and just touch on a bit of childhood health conditions that I've experienced that really, I am so grateful that I found carnivore. I actually believe that I began my food addiction, sugar addiction, self-soothing, binge eating from a very, very, very young age. I was a premature baby, 6 weeks early, put in an incubator, taken away from my mom. I believe I actually learned to self-soothe with food from that moment. I don't actually remember that, but I remember being a very young child and feeling joy, like really elated pleasure when I was eating. I actually had a pretty traumatic childhood, and for my childhood I felt very lonely, sad, unsafe, full of anxiety. And as an only child with no real caregiver or adult to be a stand for me, to I didn't have emotional support. There wasn't a grandma, there wasn't a teacher, a parent, a sibling. I was kind of figuring it out on my own. So I made food my absolute best friend. It was like the one thing that, it just wrapped me in a blanket. It just made me feel warm and safe. I remember being 5 at school, and I couldn't focus. All I wanted was the break. I wanted lunch. I wanted to eat all of my food and everyone else's food. It was like a monster in me that I couldn't quite control. anytime I would go to other children's houses or a birthday party, I would be by the cupboards. I would be sneaking food. I would be at the buffet table. I wasn't interested in face paint, trampolining, party. No, no, no. I just wanted to be at food. Nobody really picked up on how, now looking back, how severe my sugar addiction was and my binge eating also at a young age, because I was actually never overweight. I don't know the ins and outs, the science behind that, but I've never been overweight. And so I went through my whole childhood kind of really suffering deeply internally, really, emotionally, mentally. On the outside, I looked like a normal child, not overweight, no real big health conditions. But actually, I was really, really suffering. I would even start to find money and get myself to the shop and buy pick a mix. There was these sour brain liquors. I would pop the balls out and actually drink them. I would buy boxes of ice lollies, not freeze them, just cut them open and just drink the liquid because it was so sweet. I would sneak downstairs and eat sugar out of the sugar jar at a very young age and pour golden syrup from that golden green tin that you, I would just pour it straight in my mouth. My sugar addiction was off the charts. As a child, I had lots of tonsillitis, lots of antibiotics, chest infections, ear infections. I had cold sores all the time. Now I understand, looking back, I really didn't understand how to regulate myself. And I was in fight or flight. I've been in fight or flight most of my life. I was a very anxious, scared, an unwell child, but it wasn't really, no, there was just always something underlying. I began to get UTIs at 10 years old. I would have antibiotics that would actually then cause me to get thrush. So I would have UTIs, I would have thrush, I would have tonsils, I'd have more antibiotics. My gut was being destroyed. I just load up with sugar. I was kind of really able to do whatever I wanted. I wasn't really in the environment that it was kind of routine, dinner, and connections. I started drinking alcohol at 12. I was a bit of a wild teenager. I remember when I was 17 years old, I passed my driving test. I would go to Poundland and I would load up my boot with wheat crunchies, knickknacks, all of the crisps, the Doritos, packets of Snickers, Twixes, double deckers, bags of Skittles, wine gums. My glove box would be packed with bars of dairy milk. You couldn't fit another bar in there. It would be stacked. And it made me feel safe. So as a child, I would have snacks next to my bed. I would fill up drawers in my school book bag. Even really young, 8, I would have sweets in my book bag. Nobody really paid much attention. I was kind of, I know this could pass around a lot, so I'd stay at different people's houses, people, you know, adults, give us some sweets, give us some sweets. I was dropped off here. These people were looking after me. These people looked at, so nobody really was really getting to know what was going on because I was always with different people. Yeah, it just got worse as a teenager. Entered into some pretty toxic, abusive relationships. Of course, that's where I come from. That was what was familiar to me. Just repeating all of the chaos and drama. I ended up moving to Australia, had another UK at 18 years old on my own. Packed my bags. I was like, I'm off. Get me to somewhere that is as far as I can possibly go because something's got to change. Took myself over to Australia. I had no idea how long I was going to be there. It actually ended up being there 7 years. So, of course, we try and fix things internally with external things. I thought, you know, moving across the world, things are going to change. Like, no, still the same Houston, still a lot of trauma and things that I wasn't dealing with. Went to Australia, same binge eating, sugar, entered into some relationships that weren't healthy, repeated the cycles. I started to go to homeopaths, naturopaths. I actually started to go to therapy. I just felt really disconnected with my body. I started to really feel quite sad and low, depressed. The binge eating was actually getting worse. I would go and buy carrier bags full with sweets and chocolate and just get into bed thinking, oh, this is going to give me comfort. This is going to bring me joy. Like, I'm so excited. I was kind of like plan the binges. And then it would all be gone very quickly. Like everything in 20 minutes under. And I mean a lot of food. And then the guilt hit and the shame hit. And I'm not going to do that tomorrow. I'm not going to do that. And it repeats. I remember crying. I remember going to hypnotherapy. Didn't do anything. I remember just searching for help. I found books, Sweet Poison, I Quit Sugar. I read Wheat Belly, Grain Brain, and lots of different things. I'm always interested in health and nutrition. I read them, but I just couldn't get a hold. I guess addiction is a powerful thing. And I felt absolutely powerless over food, especially over sugar. It's like something was controlling me. I would be walking to the shop, telling myself, you're not going in, you're not going in, you're not going to go in, you're just going for a walk. And still then I would find myself at the down the aisles, gathering everything, going, you're not actually going to pay for this, you're not going to pay for it, you're going to put it all back on the shelves. Then I'd be at the checkout, no, Houston, you're going to put this back? No. Then all of a sudden I'll be back at home, binge eating, repeat. I actually, out in Australia, got qualified as a personal trainer because I love fitness and I've always loved health. At school, I was in the athletics team. I actually used to sprint, which I do believe also saved me. It actually saved me in part because I had such a lot of muscle, and I just believe that my body was able to process some of the damage because I actually started sprinting at 9 years old. Sorry, I missed out that little bit. But I got qualified as a personal trainer at age 23. I came back to the UK at 25. And at age 25, that's when I actually entered into gyms. So I really was surrounded by the fitness industry. And I actually thought this was going to make things better. it actually made things worse. So what I came to know was actually the fitness industry is quite not everything. However, my experience, it's quite toxic, and there's a lot of body dysmorphia, disordered eating in a lot of different ways. The macros, the counting calories. I'd never counted calories. I had never... This wasn't something I was used to. I didn't really grow up getting on the scales and all of those types of things. So this was a whole new environment for me, which actually made things so much worse. So I started to learn, oh no, Houston, you need to reduce your fat. So you're eating the whole eggs. You need to just eat the egg whites. No, Houston, we're doing protein powders. No, you don't want to be eating the mince and the steak. We're doing chicken breast. No, Houston, you've got to, you know, eat more greens. We're doing the pre-workout. We're doing the protein bars. We're doing all of the skinny things and the syrups and the different things that you put in the copies. I learned all of this in the fitness industry. Then I decided to do a body competition. So it was a bodybuilding bikini comp. And I actually do have pictures. Well, this made my binge eating disorder and sugar addiction, I didn't realize it could get worse, and it got worse. So from this, now looking back, there was restriction. So I had a coach, and I was told, you have rice cakes, plain rice cakes, you have chicken breast with broccoli, you can use zero calorie sweeteners in your coffee and in your yogurt. You're going to have oats with protein powder, and you can put the sweetener in there. Then you're going to have white rice, chicken breast. I was allowed a couple of spoonfuls of almond butter. And, oh, I was allowed some bacon, but it wasn't allowed to be pork. It had to be turkey bacon. I was like, right, okay, got it. Wow, I had no idea, but this, I was feeling so hungry. My sugar cravings were through the roof. Yes, my body started to really, like, I had an 8-pack at one point, and my body fat percentage was decreasing. And aesthetically, to look at me, people assumed, wow, she looks so fit, she looks so healthy. My mental health was not good. Brain fog was through the roof. I felt unstable in my mind. I was cold all the time. My sleep was shot. I was angry. I felt irritable. I felt frustrated. I felt confused. I would cry every day. It actually felt like torture. But what I didn't actually say is, I didn't tell my coach this, but every weekend I was able to stick with it for like the 5 days, and I would force myself. And then every weekend I would binge. I don't know how, because I don't know the science behind mind body and how it's worked, but I actually still looked amazing, and I would binge every weekend without my coach knowing. And the binge would be quite, I would have ice cream, Oreos, Twixes, Mars bars. I would eat Biscoff spread, the whole jar. I would Haribo. I would go to Wilkinson's and buy 2 kilos of Pick a Mix and eat the whole thing. Yes, I would balloon. The inflation, my eyes would feel like slits. My whole face would swell. I was so uncomfortable. By about 3 or 4 days, it would all, the water and the retention would go down, and I'll be able to check in with my coach again and send pictures and still quite like look great. I did this for about 16 weeks. I also finished the prep, did the competition, and that is when it just, I didn't even have the 5 days of the structure, diet plan. It just went wild. I couldn't control myself. I was waking up at night eating buttons, dairy milk, Galaxy, the headaches, migraines. It was abuse. I couldn't stop. I felt like I had no control over it. It spiraled. It just got worse and worse and worse, really. There were little snippets that I managed to get control over it. And I remember, I think it was 2018 or 2019, watching Game Changers. I think it was called Game Changers. It was like a vegan documentary. I don't know. It was in the cinema. Went and watched it. Wow. Hook, line and sinker. I was like, this is it. For my health, this is it. This is going to change everything. I went vegan for a year. I was eating raw spinach out of the bag, like daily. I was eating nut butters out of the jar. I was still binge eating because I just, my body, it was like it was crying out for something. I just didn't know what it was. I would eat a kilo of nut butter in like a day. It was, I would have Brussels sprouts thinking that I was being so good. I would do a whole kilo of them, whole kilo of Brussels sprouts just with salt. Like, yeah, I would eat all the broccoli. I was told that greens are your best friend. Houston, load up on greens. So it got to the point, I'm still in the fitness industry, I would grate courgettes into my oats to try and get extra greens. I would make my omelets green because I was told to get extra greens. So I would blitz up kale and spinach with eggs and then do it in the pan. I would add greens into absolutely everything. I did smoothie cleanses, juice cleanses, and I honestly was feeling internally sicker and sicker and sicker. It didn't really, because everyone around me would still say, Houston, you look great. Stop going. You look great. I was like, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong. I feel so disconnected and so numb and so like a monster. There's like a monster in me and I don't know how to tame her. Like, she's angry and I would be snappy. My mood was wild. I went down the medical medium route. Read his book, started celery juicing. It got worse and worse and worse. In 2021, I actually went up to Harley Street to get all of my blood done and have like a full MOT, let's say, and to try and find something. Please, somebody has to help me. I found out, I also went up again 3 months later and had all my bloods done again. I also went to another naturopath, another homeopath. I also was doing acupuncture, Mizan therapy, some other therapies. I found out my testosterone was through the roof. I don't really like labels, but I got labeled or diagnosed with PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. I had all the scans. I had lots of cysts on my ovaries. My testosterone was through the roof. I had low T3 and T4, so my thyroid. I was pre-diabetic. My fasting blood sugar or glucose or was 6.3. I also had hypoglycemia, so I would shake. I didn't know what any of this was. I was like, all I know is I do not feel well. No matter what you see on the outside, I am not a well human being right now. Now I know it's obviously all of the sugar, and my body was just trying to. I've just been on a roller coaster of insulin spikes or my whole entire life. Every time I would go to sort of a fitness event or a health expedition or seminar, I don't know, I always find like, oh yeah, well, I'll have my blood pressure done and I'll have my finger pricked to find out whatever it is, your insulin or your glucose. And every time they would be like, get the jelly beans, sit down, are you okay. Now I understand. So I was having like low, I was like, I'm fine. That's just, so had all that, still not really getting to anything. So my thyroid, my PCOS, pre-diabetes, this is a lot for my body to be going through. I was 30 at the time. But still, no one's really doing anything. Like the doctor, she said to me, well, so do you want to get pregnant right now? No. Okay, so we don't really need to worry about the PCOS until you want to get pregnant. Right, okay. One doctor said to me, we'll put you on some thyroid medication, but I just intuitively was, no, I'm not. I'm going to figure it out somehow. I don't know how, but I am going to figure this out. So it's been a wild ride from then. 2022, I thought, this is like, what is this human experience? Surely there is more to this. Oh, I need to go away. I packed my bag in 2022 and took myself on a 10-month solo trip. I was like, oh, there's more healing. There's something more. I ended up in Costa Rica. I sat with shamans. I did plant medicine. I did breath work. I did cold water therapy. I drank cacao. I chanted. I danced in the rain. I'm like, somebody's got to help me. I'm not well. Went on this journey. Came back 2023, so last year, and still, my body that really had started to, my muscle felt like, I can only explain it, like I would look and it felt like it was dissolving. I was like, something's happened. My tone was disappearing. Tone that I'd had my whole life. The cellulite started to appear on my arms and down the fronts of my legs. My face was just puffing up. The exercise that I would do and the weightlifting, the sprinting wasn't doing anything. Like, I would bounce back into shape. If ever I kind of felt a little bit fluffy, this wasn't happening anymore. My hair was all falling out. Acne was all coming on my face. My nails were brittle. There was ridges. I could sleep for 15 hours more and wake up feeling like I hadn't slept. My head would just spin. It's like I wasn't really here. I was looking at people, listening to people, but not really seeing or hearing anything. It's like I was in a washing machine. And then let's fast forward to 2024, 45 days ago, my mum sent me this the primal bond, this thing and something, hallelujah, angels, God, the universe, something higher than me, finally was like, Houston has surely been through enough. Like, this is 3 decades of like quite a lot. And for the last 45 days, oh my goodness, I actually feel emotional, because don't get me wrong, that it's a journey. I'm only 45 days in. However, there is so much light. I can finally, in my whole entire life, this is the first time that I can see light at the end of the tunnel, that my body, that I've experienced clarity, that I've experienced feeling more grounded, feeling more connected to my body, feeling more at ease in my body than I ever have, feeling calmer. I feel actually in these last 45 days, another thing that I actually didn't mention, I always from birth suffered with constipation quite severely. I believe that was my makeup. That was my how I was born or how my body is, because I don't know another way. I had been to doctors and they had told me eat more roughage. Yeah, I was doing that. They told me to eat more fiber, to have more greens. I was told to drink prune juice. I was soaking dates. I was told to soak flaxseed. They even gave me these sachets. I believe them, very, very strong. They were like orange flavor, because I had a client that was a nurse and she said, Houston, we give these to our very, very elderly clients when they really can't go to the toilet and they are so strong. They didn't do anything to me, nothing. So I've been doing all of these things and nothing was working. So I thought, well, I'm eating all the fiber, I'm eating roughage, I'm drinking prune juice, I'm soaking dates, I'm having warmed oatmeal and soaked flax seeds, and I'm having these things. It's just who I am, it's just my body. Until Carnivore, it's the first time in my whole entire life, and I'm not saying every single time, but this is the first time in my entire life that I've experienced being able to go to the toilet like a normal human being. I used to pray about this. I used to pray, please, because it actually impacts my whole life. It makes me feel very uncomfortable in many situations. It, even with friends, in a relationship, in going on holiday, just everything. It impacts everything. And it's like, wow, I didn't know what that felt like. No, that's just huge to me. This is the first time in my whole entire life I've done 45 days without sugar. First time in my whole life. I haven't even ever done a few days. Never. So I know a lot of people within the carnivore community, everyone's at different stages, everyone's dealing with different things, everybody is so individual and so unique. I'm really passionate about that, not one size fits all. I'm really not doing any type of fasting. My body isn't even at a stage to be fasting at all. I'm really eating a lot of fat and fatty lamb and ribeye and pork scratchings, and there's a little, I don't like butter, but there's a little bit of cheese. I actually am, I know it's not carnivore, but I actually use MCT oil in my coffee because I really don't like butter. What else? So every time I've been having a craving, and in these 45 days, there have been tears, a lot of tears, where the sugar, my body's had 30 years of addiction. There have been tears and I felt rage, deep rage. And every time, I know this is the way. I know this is the way. It's like every fiber in my being is like, you got there. We were leading you there slowly. It's like, I feel like Hansel and Gretel. I was like following the pot, but I went down a whole lot of dead ends, spinning my wheels, and kind of went down every avenue to get here. And I guess it's part of my story, and it's, I had the experience of that. So I'm only very, very early on my journey, but what already it's given me, and the freedom even to walk into the supermarket, don't need to go down any of those aisles or waste time. I would spend hours walking up and down sweet cereals, granola, looking at nut butters. Like, I've been up to London and spent hours in Whole Foods and spent £600 on bars and crisps that are healthier and all that. And now I'm like, the freedom that it's creating and the mental space, even cooking, I don't have to cook all the veg and the fancy, just meat. It's just easy. It's simple. It's just, I'm so excited for this journey, and it's, I know this is going to transform absolutely everything. This is the answer to even the binge eating, the sugar addiction, the constipation, the brain fog, the anxiety, everything.
Yeah. What a brilliant story. And the reason I didn't interrupt, because you were pouring your heart out, and it was real, wasn't it? Yes. And I can see the joy in your face if people are listening just to the audio podcast. I'm looking at a very happy, smiley person there after such a terrible and at times very tragic story. I won't pry into those early sort of years of yours that you mentioned. I think people can put the pieces together for themselves. And I'm pretty much speechless. I don't think I even have a question, because you literally covered everything that I made notes on. You definitely went the extra mile to try and get your health right. There are some similarities in our life, because I did a bodybuilding show and I did look amazing and I felt like rubbish. And people don't equate somebody looking healthy can be unhealthy. And you talked about the mental problems and constantly being hungry and feeling cold and obsessing about food, being pre-diabetic, all of those things I've had, lower left quadrant pain, you know, constipation, all that. And I did all the things you did. I was told all the things you were told: eat more roughage, greens, flax seeds, soaking dates, eat more fiber. And it's all rubbish. It is all absolute rubbish. You just have to eat the species appropriate diet. The Game Changers is responsible for a lot of these success stories, because people tried that and that made things 100 times worse. You know, exactly your experience. You think it's going to be the thing that's going to change your life. Yes, it does, but not in a good way. It seems to just get people down that juicing route, and destroying the health even further. So I don't know what to say, other than, you know, you are early in your journey. So obviously I'm going to ask you to come back maybe in 6 months to report. And I think you're just so honest and a wonderful guest. You've answered what you eat, which is, you know, the fatty lamb. You have some cheese, a little bit of MCT oil, and yeah, some people aren't fans of butter. You don't have to eat butter on carnivore. I know it's pushed ever such a lot. So that was, Houston, that was brilliant. That was absolutely brilliant. Do you feel that your mental health and your skin, all those things are better already in just such a short space of time?
100%. My skin actually feels like butter. It feels soft and smooth and glowing. I just feel, do you know what? I'm a bit emotional again, because it's like, on the outside I would smile and be dealing with so much, but it's like there was no spark in me. It's like my engine was dead, like nothing kind of brought me joy. I was numb inside, and now it's like, wow, I feel life I feel I'm coming back to life. And that is just such a beautiful thing. Like, for a human being, I'm here to experience life. And it was passing me by because I was just so numb and disconnected and disassociated. And yeah, I'm so grateful. And I would love to come back on in 6 months. And I know that it's just, powerful, powerful. I'm so grateful. Found Carnivore.
Yes. That's a brilliant way to end. So I'm going to raise my mug to you and my Carnivore experience mug there, because it is an experience. It's a way of life. It's not a diet. And you have proven that it's not a weight loss diet. It's a health diet. It's a way of living that's going to get your health back. So, Houston, all your links will be in the description. People want to follow your journey. If you had somebody contact you, I'm going to ask you to just finish with this one question, and they said, I'm on the fence about carnivore. I'm not sure whether I want to dive in. It's so weird. Or just eating meat. Do you really think I should try it? What would you say to them?
Oh my goodness. I would say 100%. As I said, every single human being, every individual is very unique. There is no comparison between us. We're all so different. So please, you know, meet yourself where you're at, start where you are, and listen to yourself, listen to your body. I do really encourage everyone to give it a go, give it a try. What have you got to lose? And I really would commit to, I know I'm only day 45, but I would really commit to at least 90 days. I know I have heard people say 30, but I'm day 45, and I really don't believe that I'm fat adapted or in any way got the real benefit yet. Even I wake up a lot in the night at the moment because I really believe my body is like looking for the carbs and sugar. It's going to take time. It's going to take time. You know, things that we do for decades, it's not just going to be fixed overnight. Really give yourself patience and grace, and all you can do, the proof is in the pudding. Just give it a go. Just try and progress over perfection. We want to be perfect and, oh my goodness, but I had a bite of this. Honestly, just slow and steady. Start to make a few changes. And like you say, it's a lifestyle. It's a marathon, not a sprint. It's a journey. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey and trust the process. I know that it can change your life if you let it.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Your support means the absolute world to me. And if you're enjoying the show, I've got a small favour to ask you. I'd be incredibly grateful if you would consider becoming a supporter and make a small monthly donation. Your contribution will really help to improve the show. I'll be able to improve the software, maybe put a few more episodes out, and do many things that I'm hoping to do in the future. Do them a lot quicker. So, it's a small monthly contribution. You can cancel at any time, and the link is in the show notes. Thanks very much for listening.